charming lot.
Welcome back, my darklings, to the Charmed Pot. This is your Mistress of Mayhem, fresh back from the West Coast Haunters Convention, and rather surprised that last night I went to bed not only at a decent hour, but sober. Anyway, I wanted to say thank you so much to Ed and Casey Roberts of the West Coast Haunters Convention, to Chris Davis and Jeff Davis, and all of the Davis Graveyard crew, and all the other staff that was there at the hotel. It was the most fantastic West Coast Haunters ever. It's now being called the family reunion of the family you really want to see. That's actually very appropriate. It's hard to believe that the wonderful month of May has already come and gone, and that June 21st, also known as Midsummer in pagan traditions, is nearly upon us. From there, the wheel of the year spins us ever closer to All Hallows' Eve, the holiday that we love so well. I bring up the Wheel of the Year and paganism because Halloween started out as a pagan holiday in the United Kingdom, as most of you know. The pagan traditions that we've been able to discover through the wonders of archaeology and other means have even more to offer those of us who share a dark turn of mind. The Eight Greats, as some in pagandom have called the holidays, are observances of specific events that occur every year. These are the solstices and the equinoxes, plus the midpoints in between. Among these midpoints are Halloween and May Day. Now, May Day is all about playful sexuality and fertility. The maypole is a symbol of male fertility, and the dance around it is for the young men and women to bring their fertility to the village and to the crops. Couples jump over fires and are encouraged to go into the orchards and fields to make love in order to bless the fields for a bountiful harvest at the autumn equinox. These traditions please the gods and the goddesses, who bless the village with an abundance of fruit and livestock. It makes sense that the ancient cultures would develop a belief system like this when they depended on the harvest to see them through the winter, doesn't it? But what happens when the gods aren't pleased? The harvest is small, and the village is threatened with starvation. Sounds like a great movie plot, doesn't it? You see where I'm going with this now, don't you? Yes, I'm leading you to the Wicker Man. If you've never heard of the Wicker Man, and I'm referring here to the original 1973 film, not the horrible Nicolas Cage remake, you're in for a complex and meaty surprise. The Wicker Man is a great horror film to watch during the summer season. It stars British film star Edward Woodward as Sergeant Howie, a police officer who flies to a private Scottish island known as Summer Isle to investigate the disappearance of a young girl by the name of Rowan Morrison. He had received a letter at his station, addressed specifically to him, telling him of the disappearance, but from the very beginning, Sergeant Howie is hindered in his investigation by the strange and slightly sinister inhabitants of the private island. We come to discover that Sergeant Howie is a prig and a prude and a devout Christian. This seems to amuse rather than offend the island's inhabitants for reasons we will soon discover. He is allowed on the island, where he shows the picture of Rowan he has sent in a letter to the harbor master and some bystanders who have apparently come to gawk at the rare stranger who has come to visit. They're asked if they know Rowan, but they all shake their heads and say no. He pulls out his letter and reads to them about May Morrison's daughter, Rowan, and how she's been missing for months.
None of us has seen May Morrison's daughter, Rowan, since last year. She's only 12 and she's been missing from her home for many months. The mother's name is May Morrison.
Oh, May! She quite slipped my memory. Of course we've got May. She keeps the post office in the High Street.
May Morrison, you're quite sure?
Quite sure.
Well, thank you for your help.
He goes to May Morrison's shop and meets with her, but she says the girl in the photo isn't hers and introduces Howie to her young daughter, Nettle, who's 9 and drawing a picture of a hare in the other room, a hare being another type of bunny rabbit. He attempts to question her about Rowan, and she says she knows her, but he discovers the girl is talking about a hare that runs wild in the village fields. Later, Howie goes to the Green Man Inn, where he'll be staying the night, and he runs across what seems like the bulk of the town, drinking and having a folk sing-along. Silence falls as he walks in, and he asks for a room from the innkeeper, who checks him in and tells him his daughter, Willow, will show him to his room. Her appearance inspires a rendition of a very bawdy folk song about the landlord's daughter.
Show the sergeant to his room, won't you?
Much has been said of the strumpets of yore, of wenches and bawdy house queens by the score, but I sing of the baggage that we all adore. The landlord's daughter, you'll never love another. Although she's not the kind of girl to take home to your mother.
This is met with icy disapproval from Howie, and it's clear that his Christian morals are offended by the reference to Willow's overt sexuality. He wanders the room, observing the pictures of the past year's harvest queens and the evidence of the bountiful harvest around them. One, the last year's, is missing, and he's told the frame is broken and it's out for repair. He's also served his dinner, which he observes is from a can and the beans aren't quite the right color. This is the first hint that perhaps the harvest didn't go so well last year. The off color of the beans may also be a hint that Howie is being fed something that isn't quite on the up and up. He goes to his room and he kneels by the bed in his pajamas to say his bedtime prayers. Willow gently taps on his door before she heads to her own bed in the room next door and begins what has been speculated to be a complex sexual spell cast in Howie's direction. As the camera cuts between a singing and undulating, naked Willow and a sweating, barely controlled Howie, we realize it's taking every single bit of his will not to go to her bed. Some spell, huh? The next morning, Howie's awakened, still in his pajamas, in his own bed, by a primly dressed Willow, who chides him for not succumbing to her invitation. He tells her he doesn't believe in sex before marriage, and she mentions that, in that case, it's a good thing he's leaving today, as he wouldn't approve of their upcoming May Day celebrations. As he's walking around the island during his investigation, we can see what she means. The boys are dancing around a maypole, and the girls are inside the school, learning about the symbolism of it. He continues in his attempts to discover the whereabouts of the missing Rowan, and he thinks she's buried in the churchyard, but is told that if he wants to exhume the body, he must go see the Lord of Summer Isle, who is played by Sir Christopher Lee. Howie and Lord Summer Isle discuss religion briefly, and Howie shows how deeply he is offended by the paganism the Lord espouses for himself and his people by his rude disapproval.
What religion can they possibly be learning? Jumping over bonfires?
Parthenogenesis.
What?
Literally, as Miss Rose would doubtless say in her assiduous way, reproduction without sexual union.
Oh, what is all this? I mean, you've got fake biology, fake religion. Sir, have these children never heard of Jesus?
Himself the son of a virgin, impregnated, I believe, by a ghost.
Even so, the Lord is gracious and unfailingly polite and grants him permission to exhume Rowan's body. Howie is frustrated even in this small thing, as the coffin holds only the body of a hare. He takes it back to the Lord's fine house and throws it down on the hearth in front of him, demanding once again to know where Rowan is being held. Lord Summer Isle maintains his courteous demeanor and lets Howie know he's welcome to continue his search. Howie says he's going back to the mainland to get help, and Lord Summer Isle reiterates Willow's sentiment that he's glad he won't be around to see the May Day celebrations to be held the next day. Sergeant Howie breaks into the photo developer's shop and discovers a negative of the missing picture. It shows a smiling Rowan, all right, but one without the fruitful bounty surrounding her as had been seen in the previous years. He realizes that they mean to sacrifice Rowan at the next day's celebration. I'm going to fast forward through more plot twists and turns and will violate my usual habit of not revealing a film's ending, only because the ending is what gives the movie its deepest sense of creepy horror. Howie has clonked a villager on the head and disguised himself in that man's costume of the Fool, or Punch, from the old Punch and Judy puppets. He joins the traditional May Day parade, led through the town by Lord Summer Isle and followed by all the villagers, who are dressed in costumes and wearing animal masks and headpieces. The procession ends on a hillside amid a group of standing stones, and each villager is made to stand beneath intertwined swords, which are lowered over the head, as all chant, "Chop! Chop!" It's the March Hare gets its head chopped, but it's only an empty papier-mâché head, and a girl, not Rowan, is revealed to be unharmed under the now severed head. Howie follows them to the beach, where he at last discovers Rowan, dressed in white and hands tied behind her. They escape through a series of tunnels that she knows, And at last the two come out to a beach by the sea, where Howie discovers that he is indeed the fool.
It is our most earnest belief that the best way of preventing this is to offer to our god of the sun and to the goddess of our orchards the most acceptable sacrifice that lies in our power. Animals are fine, but their acceptability is limited. A little child is even better, but not nearly as effective as the right kind of adult.
What do you mean? Right kind of adult?
You, Sergeant, are the right kind of adult. As our painstaking researches have revealed, you, uniquely, were the one we needed.
A man who would come here of his own free will.
A man who has come here with the power of a king by representing the law.
A man who would come here as a vagrant.
A man who has come here as a fool.
He's taken and placed in the wicker man, which is filled with chickens, goats, and other livestock. And then the wicker man is set on fire. The last few minutes of the film intercut Sergeant Howie's biblical screaming with the villagers standing around the burning wicker man, singing a pagan song of sacrifice to their sun god. The terrified bleating of the sheep and the goats vies with the sergeant's now agonized howling as the wicker man's head catches fire, a fire which is now reflected in the sun setting into the ocean. The production of The Wicker Man was said to have been a nightmare from the very beginning. It was filmed in October and November, not in spring, so it was freezing as only areas in the north and by the ocean can be. The original director had a heart attack and had to be replaced. The weather was so erratic they would have to jump outside when the sun showed its face so that the outdoor scenes could be shot. The British version of the ASPCA was giving them a hard time because rumors they were planning to actually burn live animals in the final scene had reached them. Anthony Schaefer, the writer, finally put out an inflammatory letter that said that they could only be burning cuddly and woolly animals, and they finally realized how dumb they were being and stopped bothering the director and the crew about the issue. Edward Woodward had what was the most undignified role, in that he was stuck in the middle of the Wicker Man, with the level above him occupied by a terrified goat which kept urinating on him in fear of the noise and the smell of the fire. At the end of the filming, the studio changed hands, so the film was put on hold by the new owners, who later decided they hated it and gutted it in the editing room. Then they did nothing to promote the film. It's still a common practice in the movie industry when studio owners change. The final nightmare came when all of the original negative of the film was accidentally destroyed in a purge of the studio's vaults. It's a real shame, as it would have been nice to see all the deleted scenes and outtakes, but it's thought that the negative is buried beneath the freeway in the UK. We're actually lucky there's a film to see at all. The Wicker Man is not a horror film in the vein of the gory slasher flick, although it has strong elements of horror in it. It has a touch of the pulp mystery about it, mixed with a healthy dose of Celtic mythology and surrealism. The Wicker Man is a cautionary tale, warning against the falseness of moral superiority and the arrogance that comes with it. It warns that this could happen to you. You can find The Wicker Man on Amazon Instant Video, and you can also purchase the DVD from them. I'd really recommend it for a creepy and atmospheric midsummer chill. And until we meet again, my darklings, bloody kisses.
Take the flame inside you, burn and burn delay. Fire seed and fire feed and make the baby stay.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.